This won't be a particularly long lesson today, but sometimes less is more, right? Sometimes less is better. It's like we were to go to one of these great potlucks we have and eat all this good food, and you come back and maybe it was just all good, nothing stood out to you. Well, if I had you over my house and we had some bean soup and cornbread, some relish and onions in there and all that, just zeroing in on one thing, you would probably have a tendency to remember that more. So I think that's true. Sometimes in scriptures, we can give you so many things and go in so many different ways, which seems to be a natural thing with the scriptures, that you walk away and your mind's full of so many things that it's hard to concentrate on one thing. So we left off the last time I spoke in Matthew 19. I'll go there. Most of the scriptures, well, not most, but in the beginning anyway, I will be just commenting on commentary on the context instead of us taking time to read the whole context, and then, because if I did that, then it would become long, very long. So we're a learned enough group here that we don't always have to go to the scriptures. We know enough to go and see if those things are so ourselves, if it doesn't sound right. But Matthew 19, verse 6, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. And they said to him, why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away? And he said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it has not been this way. So our subject today is pursuing the justice and the mercy of God. And we're going to look at some scriptures where we see these together, just as here, maybe you didn't recognize it, but both of those are right here in this context, that Jesus says that from the beginning it was not so. It was not God's intention for there to be divorce because of what it represents so much about Christ in the church. But because of the hardness of men's hearts, God is not with unfeeling about our situation in life. And so he gave Moses permission to say that for this cause, fornication or adultery, a man could put away his wife, but that for that cause only. So what you see there is mercy. So justice says it was not that way in the beginning. Mercy says God will allow this. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, the story of David and Bathsheba. So we know what happened there, right? David seen one of his soldiers' wives, Uriah, bathing. And this set off a chain of events of lust, which led to adultery, and which led on to murder. And he winds up killing her husband, trying to cover up his sin. And the whole thing just escalated and got worse and worse. So Nathan then came to David and pronounced God's judgment upon him, which also, though, extended mercy by allowing him to repent and to live. David faced the consequences of justice, but was not abandoned by God. Mercy. And Jonah, the third chapter, We know the case here where God sends Jonah to the Ninevites because they had been living wickedly. And he sends Jonah to tell them that God is going to destroy them for their wickedness. Well, the word gets around to everybody in the city and the king and all this, and they believe him. They believe what the prophet said. And so the whole city repents. They humble themselves before God. And so then God did not destroy them. Showing how justice, that is the impending doom that hung over them, and mercy, the forgiveness granted upon their repentance, coexisted. God always looks at the justice, sees if there's an opportunity for mercy, because they both are part of who he is, that make up his essence. A God of justice and a God of mercy. Then we have in Luke 15, we have the parable of the wayward son who goes and squanders all his inheritance and finds himself in dire circumstances. The son, his reckless behavior deserved justice. Really did. And his older brother seemed to understand that. But his humbling himself and asking to be made as one of the servants brought about from his father a merciful response. And his father's merciful response highlights the joy of redemption and forgiveness. Because we are given that same joy of redemption and forgiveness, because we were all at one time the wayward sons, wayward daughters. And our Father, in his compassion and mercy, has had mercy upon us. In John 8, we look at the woman that was caught in adultery. So the Pharisees sought to enforce the law's penalty of stoning. And so we know what Jesus said, whoever is without sin, let him throw the first stone. Jesus did not deny what the law of justice said, but he also understood there was none there who had not sinned. And so he says to them, go ahead. Every which of you is without sin, throw the first stone. Who would dare? Right. So soon there was no one left. Jesus said, where are your accusers? And she said, I don't have any, Lord. Well, without an accuser, without a witness, there was no justice undone. The law said the witness or two or three. Well, all the witnesses were gone, and Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And so once again we see justice was upheld according to its laws, but mercy gave an opportunity to this woman for a new beginning. You think she changed her life? I think so. It's no different than us. We were given the same grace. Should it cause us to change our lives? Yes. One more. In Jeremiah 29, the Israelites had sinned, and they faced the consequences of exile. Even as justice was being carried out in their separation from God, God tells them that he has plans to prosper them and not to hurt them, promising a day would come of restoration. His mercy was shown in his willingness to restore them and offering hope, even though they had to bear the consequences of their actions at the time. God had told them, so they could be finding hope in it, that this is not forever. God is going to redeem us again. In all these examples, we can see how God delights in mercy and takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's who God is. So let's consider some more verses concerning justice and mercy. Let's go to Psalms 85. And verse 10. Loving kindness, or your translation may say mercy and truth, have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. These are key attributes of God's character that abide in harmonious relationship. And what they suggest is an intimate and wholeness in relationships, both with God and with one another. Which comes when we embrace his attributes into our lives. When we show loving kindness, when we show mercy, when we love justice, and we really should, when we love these things and apply them to our life, then righteousness will be about us, and we will have peace in our souls, and we will have peace with one with another as we treat one another with these same attributes that God shows to us. If someone were to cry out, "Lord, what is it you require of me?" You know, I've said this before, I think, that sometimes I believe maybe people think, "What does God require of me? I mean, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a song leader, I'm not a whatever," you know, go on and on. And maybe you just feel like you're just a Christian, but you don't accomplish anything. And so you say, "Lord, what do you require of me?" And the answer is found in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." Now, who can't do that? We can all do that. And as you do that, you will receive your reward. So we're not all called to the same service, but we all are all called to follow and to walk in the attributes of God. And that's really all he's requiring. We can all do that. If you would look in Zechariah and chapter 7, Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 9. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, dispense true justice, practice kindness, compassion, each to his brother." It's always been God's message of the prophets These same attributes of justice and mercy and kindness have always been God's message since the beginning of time. It's always been the example, the teaching of the prophets. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10. Down here.
Verse 17.
Yeah, that'll work. Verse 17. Actually, let's pick up in 16. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. So, it's the same message over and over of what God requires of us. If you look in Matthew chapter 12, and verse 17. And so it says here that this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul was well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. He shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. Verse 7, yes. How'd you know that? But if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. God desires compassion, humility, mercy, kindness. Can we not all do this? Let's look at here, we already looked at it actually, but in Matthew 23, while we're here, Matthew 23. Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." Jesus said, some things are more important than others. Some things are weightier. And he makes it very clear that the weightier things are the things we're talking about today. Justice, mercy, faithfulness. In Proverbs 21:21, it says, "He who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor. In all you're pursuing, in all you're getting, in all you're going after, pursue righteousness and loyalty to God and to one another. I'll close with this one of my favorite cop stories. I think you've maybe heard it before, but I like telling it. So Charlotte and I were traveling, going through a place we weren't familiar with at all. Coming in down this mountain into the city limits, I was slowing down. I was coming to the city limits, but I didn't realize how sharply I must have missed it. There was probably a sign that said road narrowing, or one of them things that shows you it's going to turn into one lane. And probably Charlotte distracted me and I missed that. So in any case, I had to jerk the car over so I didn't go off the cliff. And almost immediately, these lights come on behind me. Uh-oh. So I pulled over, and this guy gets out and comes up to the car. He says, "Do you know who I am?" "No." He says, "I'm the chief of police of this city." "Oh." And he says, "You just about ran me off the road." "Oh." And and then of all things, he asked me, I've never had a cop ask me this before. He says, "What do you think I should do with you?" Well, I thought about it for a minute. He said it a couple times, like, "What do you think I should do with you?" I said, "Well, I'm a Christian, and the Bible talks about mercy." I mean, he asked me. And he says, "Well, I'm a Christian too." And he says, "The Bible also talks about justice." Well, I said, "Did you know the Bible also says that justice and mercy kissed?" Well, at this time, he wasn't going to give me a ticket. I mean, we were brothers, right? But if he was still going to give me a ticket, then I was going to say to him, "Well, I'm sorry." And he would probably say something like, "Well, you should be. You almost ran me off the road." And I said, "Well, yes, I'm sorry about that, but that's not what I was talking about." And he'd go, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I'm sorry for you." "What do you mean you're sorry for me?" Well, James tells us in the New Testament that he that shows no mercy shall be shown no mercy. So I'm sorry I put you in that situation to where you're not going to be shown any mercy. I didn't have to go there. Fortunately. Oh, yeah. It was on the back burner in case I needed to pull it out. Anyway, that's one of my favorite cop stories, and about justice and mercy. Feel free to use it.